Well, if you have a Bible nearby, I want to invite you to open it up to the book of Ephesians. And today we're going to be in chapter 6. Now, for those who are maybe joining for the first time, we are 1 week away from concluding a series on the book of Ephesians in which we've entitled God Has a Plan. Now, my guess is that you, like me, have at some point felt like, well, just the opposite is true. As we take note of the chaos that goes on in the world around us, and maybe even as we have gone through or reflect on personal hardships, it can seem like, well, just the opposite is true, that maybe God doesn't have a plan. Now, if you've ever felt that way, if you've ever expressed that, then really the book of Ephesians is for you. Because you see, this book, which is actually a letter, was written to be an encouragement. It was written to a community that were facing many hardships. Some of them were personal, some of them were communal, some of them were from society, oppression, persecution that they were facing. And in the midst of this, questions begin to arise, the type of questions that you and I ask. So this letter was written to this community by a gentleman named Paul, who helped start the church in Ephesus. And he writes this letter to encourage them that even when it doesn't seem like it, God does in fact have a plan. He has a plan for our lives, he has a plan for this world, and he has a plan for the life to come. So you could say it this way, the book of Ephesians really, it helps us see God's plan, which is exactly what we've been doing over the course of the last several weeks. Now, last week, we began discussing God's plan for our relationships. And in that, we looked specifically last week at the relationship that exists between a husband and wife, so that of marriage. Well, today, we're going to look at another highly influential relationship, and that is the relationship that exists between parent and child. So again, if you have a Bible, Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, a couple things just happened as I read those verses. Every parent just got a little excited. Every younger person kind of groaned internally. Ugh. And every child that's maybe now living on their own thought, well, what does this mean for me today? You know, I want to encourage you, before we get too excited or before we have a tendency to kind of check out, let me say this, that the verses that we're going to discuss today, this portion of scripture is vitally important. That's because it's not just about the relationship that exists between a parent and child, right? The text here isn't just about individual families. Really, it's about society. Because as we're going to see, what happens in the home influences what happens in a society. You know, I think that most of us, looking at the brokenness of our world, have thought things need to change, right? It shouldn't be this way. Which, of course, as we think that, it raises up this question of, well, how? How do we bring transformation to our world? I think that when we consider order within society, things that we put in place, officials, laws, social programs, they're all really designed to solve this problem of how do we heal the brokenness in our community. But you know, ultimately, it isn't elected officials, it isn't legislation, it's not even social programs that determine the trajectory of a society. It's families. It's families. Our society is shaped by what happens in the home, by the relationship that exists between parent and child. Now, let's begin by looking at this first part of what Paul is speaking to the church in Ephesus here. And in this verse where it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Now, when we hear that, we hear this word obey, we might immediately think that what Paul is saying is just do what you're told. But that doesn't really encompass exactly what Paul is saying here. Now, the word that we translate obey is the Greek word hupakuo, which is really, it's made up of two words, which means under and hearing. And literally, it means under hearing, or that it's the action one takes in response to what is heard. Now, this word, it suggests attentive listening, and it could be said this way, that it's really listening to what one is saying when they give a charge. And therefore, this word, it means not simply to obey, but to follow what one hears. Now, let me say this, that there's a point in a child's life in which they simply need to comply with the parent's wishes. Meaning this, a five-year-old doesn't get to play in the street. They have to comply with their parent's directive or rule of you can't go in the road, and if you do, there's consequences. But you know, as a child ages, there's more to obeying than simply compliance. Right? Obeying here, what Paul is talking about, it's about listening deeply to what our parents are teaching us and allow what they're teaching us to shape us and guide us as we journey through life. This is why the command to obey is in the context here of a parent bringing up their child in discipline and instruction in the Lord. Let me ask parents a question. If your child is going to be able to attentively listen, right, so that they can be shaped by what you're teaching them, let me ask this question. What are you teaching your child? Now, we might respond in numerous different ways with the different things that we want to instill in our children. Things like being kind or helping others, thinking through the consequences of decisions, right? If you're on this path, where does this path conclude at? You know, those are things that I think we all want for our children, and these are good things that we want for our children. Yet there's one thing that parents are called to focus on that not only encompasses all these good things, but at the same time, it actually surpasses them. It's the thing that God wants us to focus on, the thing that God wants us to instill to teach our children, and that is this, to be godly. That's why Paul says to discipline and instruct in the Lord. The Life Application Bible Commentary, speaking really of a parent's role in shaping their children and influencing godliness, it asks this question. It says, "Do you read the Bible to your children? Do you tell them the great stories of the heroic men and women of the faith who've gone before? Do you pray for and with them daily? Do you take them to worship and Christian education classes and let them see how important your involvement in the church is to you? Can they see the difference Christ makes in your life?" You know, I can't tell you how many parents I've encountered over the years who, while professing to be a follower of Jesus, really teach their children nothing about God. I mean, yeah, they might take their child to a church service in hopes that someone else will teach their child about God, but they themselves, right, personally, they're not pouring into their children spiritually. About 10 years ago, my wife and I, we were helping a church that was going through a season of transition, and I was asked to serve as the interim pastor. And it was Easter Sunday. We'd only been there for maybe a couple months at that point. So just you know, a short period of time. And my wife was teaching one of the children's classes on Easter morning. And she had a group of kids and they're sitting down. And she asked them, "What is today?" And of course, the kids are like, "It's Easter." And they're all excited. And she asked them, she said, "Well, what is Easter?" And the responses that she heard back were things like this. "Today's the day that I get to go find eggs with candy in them. My parents give me a basket and there's candy and there's toys in it. We went to the mall and we got our picture taken with the Easter bunny." That's what she heard from these children. What she didn't hear was the telling of the gospel story. She didn't hear about sin and about the price that Jesus paid on the cross to redeem us from our sin. She didn't hear about God Himself entering to creation as the man Jesus to do that. She didn't hear about the empty tomb or the resurrection. You know, if you are a Christian parent, the most important thing that you can do as a parent is to help your child know the Lord and develop a Christian worldview. And you do that by, yes, being a part of a community of faith and having your child grow and develop within the church. We've seen that in some earlier parts of the book of Ephesians of how important it is to be connected to a community of faith. But let me say this, you also have a personal duty, and that is to personally teach your children God's word and to demonstrate, to live before your children what it means to follow Jesus. Right? Your job, your duty as a parent is to help your child engage the world through the lens of the Christian faith. You know, with my own children, I'm constantly looking for opportunities to help them think through their experiences and the situations that they're facing. I'm trying to help them think through those things biblically. So we're always in our home, we're always discussing things like, well, what does Scripture say about this? Or what does Scripture teach us? How does Jesus want us to respond to this situation? We ask questions like, well, what does it look like to honor God in this situation? Now, please don't hear me wrong, and I'm not trying to act as though I'm this perfect, holy parent, because God knows that I'm not. I am a broken person who sins, and I've had to ask my children for forgiveness many times for how I've responded to situations, for things that I've said, for speaking maybe ungraciously, and for flat out just making mistakes and failing at times as a parent. So please, again, don't hear this as I'm trying to say I'm a perfect parent. There's only one perfect parent, and that's God the Father. Yet, even though we're not perfect, you and I, if you are a parent, we are called to do everything in our power to help our children develop a decision-making process that honors God. And, you know, here's the thing. The reason why Paul's statement, really kind of applies to all parents and all children is because as I think about my own life, one day my children are going to be my age. And I will be an old man at that time. Although my kids already kind of think I am an old man, but I'll be much older then. But yet I will still have this responsibility of helping encourage them to think through things biblically and to make decisions that honor the Lord. Scholar Peter Williamson states in his commentary on the book of Ephesians, he says that Paul presupposes that his readers, whether Jewish or Gentile, are familiar with the Old Testament teaching about the obligation of parents to speak the word of God to their children. It is found in the Shema, a prayer that includes the great commandment about loving God that devout Jews pray daily. After enjoining Israelites to love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, Moses tells parents to drill these words of God's law into their children, speaking of them at home and abroad, whether you are busy or at rest. You know, I really like that statement. Drill these words of God's law into their children. You know, when I was in the military, we had three core values that were repeatedly and constantly drilled into us. And those values were integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all that we do. You know, as I was thinking about this, it occurred to me, I've been out of the military for about 15 years now, and yet those values still impact my life. If you are a Christian parent, don't raise your kids to be good people. Raise them to be godly people. Pray with your child. Read God's word to them and with them. Discuss how the text should influence our lives. I remember many years ago, people used to wear those bracelets that said WWJD, which stands for What Would Jesus Do? You know, it can sound a little simplistic, but process with your children. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus respond to this decision? What choice would Jesus make? Now, I guess someone could respond that hitting people with a whip and flipping over tables is always an option. So, to which I'm kidding, sort of. Parents, we need to teach, we need to correct, and we need to guide our children towards godliness all of their lives. And when our children are too young to make God-honoring decisions for themselves, well, we need to make those decisions for them. And children, and when I say children, I don't just mean someone who's young. All of us are children. We all have parents. So children, if you are younger and you are still living in your parents' home, you need to learn from your parents and you need to obey them by following their instruction. Now, having said that, let me say this, that if you are living in a home in which your parent is telling you to do something that is immoral, that is illegal, or that is harmful, I want to encourage you to seek help. And you can do that through your school, you can do that through your church, you can do that through a friend's parent, or you can even do that through the police if you need to. So I'm not just making a blanketed statement that you just have to do whatever your parents tell you. Again, if it's harmful, if it's immoral, if it's illegal, seek help. But you are to learn from and obey your parents. And for those of you who are older, for us who maybe even have our own children, or we're living apart from our parents, we need to continue to learn from our parents' wisdom and to allow them to help us make godly decisions, to be that encouraging voice in our life to honor the Lord. Now, when we started today, I commented that these verses aren't just about what happens in a person's home. Remember that in this, Paul makes this statement. He says that this command to obey, to honor our parents, it comes with a promise. And it's this. This is what he says. It's so it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, that statement actually stems from the Hebrew scriptures, from what we would refer to as the Old Testament, specifically the fourth commandment to honor one's father and their mother. Now, let me clarify what Paul is and isn't saying in this text. What he isn't saying is this. He's not saying that if someone is honoring to their parents and that if they obey them, that they're guaranteed a long life. Commentator Frank Thielman writes, "Everyone would be aware that many well-behaved children succumb to untimely deaths. But most people would also know that, provided they escape disease and accident, children who took to heart the wisdom of those who cared for them had a better chance of doing well and living long than those who despise their parents' instruction." Now, what Paul is saying is that those who learn to respect and to listen to those that God has placed over them at a young age, so this would be our parents, that they'll likely have better lives as they grow older because they've learned how to make better decisions. They've learned how to respect those who have authority over them. And therefore, they'll be able to function in society in a healthier manner. Dr. Thielman continues. He says, "For Paul, obedience to parents was basic to the functioning of society, and the widespread neglect of this obvious principle of conduct was a sign of the moral chaos into which the world had degenerated in the last days." You know, here's the reality. The family influences society. Matter of fact, if you want to destroy a society, destroy the family. I think that one of the biggest issues that's facing our country, America, is the breakdown of the family. 2020 U.S. Census Bureau states that 18.3 million children in America, which is about one in four, is living without any father figure in their home. The National Fatherhood Initiative states that children growing up without a father are at a 4-time greater risk of poverty, 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teen. They're more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, more likely to go to prison, 2 times more likely to drop out of school, and the list goes on and on. Again, what happens in the home influences what happens in society. Now, I understand that there are some who may be listening who are single parents. And I understand that society and the church has not always treated single parents with the respect and the love that they deserve. And to that, the only thing I can say is, I'm sorry. And what I want you to hear is that God loves you and God sees the struggles that you've gone through and maybe are currently going through. And I believe this, that by His empowerment, by the strength of the Holy Spirit, that He can strengthen you and encourage you to continue to do the good work that you've been doing, really kind of doing the job of two. And what I want to also say to you is to lean on your church family. And if you don't have a church family, to get connected to a church family. And to the church, let me say this, that we need to love single parents and we need to serve them through prayer, through encouragement, and through mentorship. And especially, we need godly men to rise up and to serve in mentoring roles with boys so they can become godly men. You know, this is, again, the reality of a healthy society, a healthy nation. We're all members of a society. We're all members of a nation. That society, it starts at home. That's why before even mentioning the parent and child relationship, as we saw last week, and if you missed it, you can listen online, Paul first talked about the marriage relationship, right? So Paul talked about marriage, and now he's talking about the relationship that exists between parents and child. And that is because of this, because what happens in the home influences what happens in society, which means this, that strengthening families will strengthen society. You know, there's so much more that we could talk about and we could unpack today, But I think that this is probably enough for us to reflect on and pray over and begin to implement just what we've talked about today. So my prayer for you as we close, first and foremost to parents, that you will raise your children to be godly, and that children, that we will receive from our parents, that we will listen, that we will obey, so that we can live long in the land. Let me pray for you today. Father, I want to thank you that you have a plan for families. As we've seen here in Ephesians 6, that plan includes raising children to live in a way that honors you. I ask, Lord, that you would give parents the wisdom to raise their children in this way, and that you would help us as children to learn from our parents, to make godly choices, and ultimately, really to live a life in submission to you every day. Jesus, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins, for all the times that we ignore your will and ultimately invite pain and destruction into our lives. Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice, and we thank you for your grace and for the mercy that you give us. And we ask that by your Spirit, that you would guide us in the paths of righteousness. Lord, we pray for families today. We pray that you would strengthen marriages and that you would strengthen the relationship between parent and child. Help us to understand how our families impact our society. And may we move by your empowerment to have a stronger and healthier society as a result of God-honoring families. Lord, I pray for every single parent. I ask God that you would continue to strengthen them as they face the challenges of parenting alone. And I pray, Lord, that you would use your church to bless single parents and children. And Lord, that you would use your church to meet every family need. Jesus, again, we love you. We thank you so much for your grace. And we pray this all in your holy name. Amen.